What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Happy July 4th weekend. I will be gone from my Twitch streams and videos until the 14th of July. I apologize for this. I'm going to Cape Cod next week, and I will be doing the Plus Pitch Podcast as much as I can. I can't guarantee every single day of that. I know I've been sporadic with it. But you will be getting Jake Crumpler on the weekends in the near future. So looking forward to that. Hopefully that will make up a little bit for my disappearance. But we got to talk about yesterday. Hurston Waldrep was my lead because he's back. And you might think, hey, wait, did we like him last year? He had this amazing stretch for a month. It was a June record, essentially, like one earned run in six games. And it was a 5.1 inning effort of 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. With 9 whiffs, 76 pitches. I just want to tell you, I am not impressed with Waldrep. I wasn't impressed with him last year. And what he did is he did add a larger arsenal that he became really comfortable with a slider last year. But this isn't it. This is a 94, 95 mile per hour sinker with a cutter that is whatever, a splitter that isn't doing enough. It's a curveball at 81 that is, it's like nothing special. I would not be going after Hurston Waldrep. I need to see more before I do it. Not to mention, he does get the Pirates next, which is a terrible matchup for right-handers right now. And then we don't know when he's going to start because of the All-Star break. And it would be maybe July 21st against the Padres. That is such a long time to wait. I do not want to go after that. Bryce Miller got the aces going to ace as he went against the Angels. 7 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. I mean, I just watched it and it was just so good. I know you might be a little worried. What? 95.8 miles per hour, not the 97 that we've seen, Nick. Aren't you afraid of that? No, because fluctuations of velocity happen all the time. And Bryce Miller is just doing so well with everything. I imagine he's also... Look, if he starts throwing at 96, that's fine. If he sits there, that's okay. I hope he gets back to the 97. And the biggest change really is not that he increases velocity, but it's rather that his fastball is not everything. It's also the really good sweeper. It's also the really good splitter, etc. Those are the things that really make a huge, huge difference for Bryce Miller. You have Alan Rangel getting the gold star because it really wasn't a proper gold star. So I gave the guy 4 innings of 0 runs against the Pirates, the right-hander, the gold star, right? Still not something that you want, but 3 hits of 4 walks and 4 Ks, just not enough juice for 90 pitches. And I really want Rangel to be good because there's such a specific satisfaction of watching a 92 mile per hour fastball followed by like a 79, 80 mile per hour changeup like Rangel's that just floats down like it's going through molasses and batters feel so far out in front. He also has a proper screwball because he's such over the top, like such a high arm angle that it actually does turn over. It's very, very strange. He's like the only one. But Alan Rangel gets the Reds in Cincinnati and then the Dodgers. So no. We are not touching this. We can't do that. Hopefully he proves that he's worthwhile after that. Ian Seymour doesn't get the gold star because we were hoping he would do well. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts in Kansas City. He actually allowed a home run in his first at bat. And then it was 6 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Now, he is not quite looking like the massive swatch of last year because the changeup only had a 47% strike rate in this one. This was really a sweeper that was a little too high for my tastes to right-handers constantly. And then you had a little bit too much over the plate, I think, to lefties. But the Royals really just couldn't handle it. It had a 27% swing strike rate and a 77% strike rate. And to see 26 to 34% usage, that is 26 to right-handers and 34 to lefties, that's pretty cool that he's throwing it to both sides. Now, there's a very pedestrian fastball in the mix here that he got away with a bit. And I'm not totally convinced that Ian Seymour is phenomenal now. I know that he's had, I think, 2 straight starts that are really good. And that should be enough for you to take a chance against a cold Yankee offense. But I think that there is a low floor here that that could turn its ugly head our way soon. Walbert Urania at the T, that is Seattle, T-Mobile Park. 5.2 innings of 1 run, 1 hit, 4 walks, and 6 strikeouts, 17 whiffs. Oh, I got to give us a Philly. One more out away. But here's the thing. Walbert Urania has an amazing changeup, and he's throwing it near 50% of the time, as he should. Because, I mean, it was 43% of this one. Sorry, I apologize, but he threw like 48 of them, 107 pitches, right? And it had a 47% CSW. Now, the four-seamer and the sinker are not consistent. It's coming in like 96, 97, but even 98, it's just not, I just wish they were good enough, right? I wish they were amazing pitches that he could really back up with the changeup. And I apologize, it was a 41% CSW with the changeup and a 47% CSW on the sweeper. The sweeper actually helped out Urania, even though it wasn't the best commanded one. He threw it enough in the zone that it threw off the Mariners. And look, the fastballs just existing make the changeup really good, right? He needs to be competitive with them in a decent amount so that they're not just only looking for slow stuff. And the more that he can have success with his sinker and his four-seamer, it's going to amplify everything to be a really, really phenomenal pitcher. That's, of course, if he does that. So Walbert Urania, I don't know if I can buy that he's going to do all those things with his fastball and really have the whole arsenal going. It feels very much like an Eric Cabrera almost. But this is good. We keep rolling with it. Good to bounce back there. Jacob Mizorowski, ace is going to ace against the Reds. It was a really fun game against Chase Burns. Really disappointing that Chase Burns didn't really match him. But then Mizorowski got all these unearned runs, including a three-run shot that really ruined it. So allowed 4 runs in the third or fourth inning, And then you have a solo shot from Sel Stewart in the first. And it was really funny. It's like a swing that's like a choked up bat. And he goes kind of oppo taco with it at 102, but harder in, harder out, right, guys? So anyway, this was 10 strikeouts, 20 whiffs, 41% CSW for Jacob Mizorowski. He's just so good. He's not going to make the All-Star game. They actually made it so that he's not going to start this year. And honestly, that is kind of nice because everyone wanted to say that he didn't deserve it last year. But that's because 7 other pitchers, whatever, weren't able to go instead of him. And he was the next one, right? So it's nice for him to kind of pass the baton there. Another hard thrower that we really like is Jared Jones, but we haven't really seen the same results yet. 4 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. The fact that he only went 4 innings with just 4 base runners on 73 pitches is, I think, a really good showcase of the inefficiency that Jared Jones has. His stuff is undeniable, and he should be cruising, but it's a 46% strike rate on his 4-seamer. The 24 curves and changeups had a 54% strike rate. The slider was really the stabilizing pitch, and that's fine. I'm super happy with him dancing with the disco. That's okay. But then you need to throw more competitive four-seamers. You need to have something else to really pair with it. Otherwise, then you're kind of a Wasker rule, which I don't want to ever suggest for Jared Jones. And he's clearly, you know, getting strikeouts, 6 Ks here in 4 innings, right? So that's the last step. And when you assess pitchers, I think it's really, really important for you to understand what they're doing and then ask yourself, is that how their arsenal is going to be moving forward? So with Jared Jones, I see this, I go, okay, 46% strike rate on his four-seamer. Do I think that that's what he is for the next 2-3 months? I don't. I think that's better. 24 curves and changeups around 55% strikes, that could be the outcome. But if the four-seamer is up to like 65%, as it should, and the slider does exactly what it's doing now, which it should, this should be a lot better for Jared Jones. That's how I assess guys a lot. I think a lot of people should do that more often. It just really gives you a good baseline of understanding as opposed to just, okay, he went 4 innings, 1 and run this game, and then 5 innings of this and that and so on. It just doesn't, that is all derivative of those, of their pitches. And Chase Burns, as I mentioned before, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks, 8 whiffs, 31% CSW, need about 90 pitches for this. And again, this is a little inefficient because you're not seeing a ton of strikeouts. You're only seeing 6 base runners. You should be able to go a little bit, you know, flirt with the 7th if you're going to have so few events, right? So many balls in play, you should be efficient enough to get to the 7th. But no, what happened here is that the slider was just, I think it was a sub 50% strike rate. And there's your problem, right? He just was not efficient enough. Only 4 strikeouts, even though he got to 2 strikes on so many batters. It blew my mind. He just kept getting to 2 strikes and then he had like a very low put away rate. And it's like, oh man, Chase Burns, you're so close. What is really cool is I think Chase Burns is the only 2-pitch starter I know right now. Like, I cover every starter, right? Sometimes missing now with Jay Crumpler, I will be covering this weekend. But I don't think I see anyone with just two rows. There's always, like, one other pitch in there that's, like, three times thrown or something like that. And in the era of everybody has all these different pitches, it is so rare to see a guy like Chase Burns just have four-seamer slider, nothing else. Know that changeup. Remember that one? The changeup in the curve that he was developing? Yeah, gone. And I actually remember in the preseason saying, of all the pitchers who are just throwing minimal things and were asking to do more, I had more faith in Chase Burns to add another element, the changeup, the curve, whatever. I just thought of him more as a foundational good starter. But thing is, he's had so much success. Why? Right? It's the old Jacob deGrom thing. He went four-seamer slider for a long time because he would allow a hit on the change of the curve and go, why didn't I just throw the slider? It's an interesting point. Davis Martin against the Guardians, 3.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 5 walks, and 0 Ks. We had a lot of games like this. This was just absolutely inefficient. He allowed 11 base runners and just 200 runs. He got so lucky getting out of this. Terrible day. He does get the Red Sox next, and it could be better. They're bad against right-handers. I just want to throw that out there. He's going to be a questionable start for me because, yes, he was terrible here. Does not mean he's necessarily terrible tomorrow. Nathan Eovaldi, I was watching this one. He was three innings of perfect ball, walked a batter in the fourth, and then had the no-hit bid broken in the fifth where he just kind of fell apart a bit. But two home runs, and I don't know how Cole Keith got that 0-2 cutter at 89-90 upstairs. It was so out of the zone. He went and got it. And I just thought to myself, well, hold on a second. You're throwing so few four-seamers now. You're going cutter, splitter, curve, and that splitter was amazing. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like the velocity still needs to be there. It used to be like 99 from Eovaldi, right? And then he needed a supporting cast because the guys would be dead around the fastball. Now I think they are going a little bit on the other way back. They did, of course, hit some fastballs. I'm not saying like the fastball just never gets hit, but there needs to be that 25-25-25-25 mix, right? All four pitches evenly spread out throughout a start. I think that was part of the secret sauce of Nathan Eovaldi, and I think it's not there at the moment. Also, of course, he's not going to have a 1.62 homer per nine. Okay, cool. Ryan Gusto went in Coors, and that wasn't very good, more at 11. And we have a couple other guys I do want to talk about, like Framber Valdez and Dustin May, Roki Sasaki, and I'll talk about all of them and more after this break. Steven Kolek against the Rays, two innings, 300 runs, four hits, one walk, and zero Ks. He had paternity leave. He was rushed to the hospital because he had his wife gave birth prematurely, and big emotional moment. I'm glad that he was able to return to the team. I should have had this more in my mind because generally when you have those interruptions and returns quickly, it's not good. And 51 pitches, two innings, he was out of his rhythm. Expect much better against the Mets and Giants next. Michael Lorenzen went six walks and one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this in Coors hosting the Marlins? It's just, what is going on? I do wonder if he is hurt because he had a tick lower in velocity as well with that terrible control, and that generally is the link between injury. It could also be that he just had bad control and then he was more laborious inside these innings. I mean, 95 pitches, not even get through five, could lead to that lower velocity. Randy Vasquez, just terrible. And he apparently fainted and was brought to the hospital after. And I just feel horrible for him as someone who has, as a 6'4" man, fainted a decent amount in my day. It can be very, very disorienting. I hope there's nothing underlying for him that caused it to. I hope everything's all right. I'm thinking about that team right now. And it's safe just not to start him moving forward. We did see Germán Márquez go for three innings and 200 runs, two hits, three walks, and one strikeout, and you should not care about that either. You have Slade Ciccone against the White Sox. Five innings, 500 runs, nine hits, one walk, three Ks. The sinker isn't that good. And the curveball and cutter that I've seen have success for Slade Ciccone before went 0-32 whiffs. I'm not interested in that at all. So, oh boy, it was looking okay, actually, through four. And then the fifth and the sixth really did ruin the day. But still, Slade Ciccone, to me, is a guy that you go for in 15-teamers as you need to take the chance to get six innings consistently of something good. But in your 12-teamers, I feel like you have better options than this. Dustin May's start was the most frustrating thing. We see these every so often, and you should not judge him for this one. He was so singled out. He had dribbler, like a comebacker off of his foot that then went to right field. And this was a bases loaded, I guess, single, double. I don't care what you want to call it. Like maybe a triple because it went to no man's land and all three runners scored, even though like it hit like it was a grounder that hit his heel. If it didn't actually hit him, it probably is a double play ending the inning. He pitched really well. Like, I know that he didn't have the greatest command of everything. Like, he walked two batters. You know, those at-bats, I mean, he threw a 94-mile-per-hour cutter to Olsen that he spat on for ball four. But, man, Koufax really had it in for him here. And Dustin May is absolutely in a better place than he was at the beginning of the year. This is better than he was last year. I really like Dustin May for the second half. And Roky Sasaki against the Padres, this was rough. Three innings of 600 runs, seven hits, two walks, and three Ks. And two things I want to know about this. One, he had a four-game stretch that was really good, and now we've seen four after that have not been good. And the biggest concern during those four was, okay, Sasaki, you were doing all of these, you're having success in all these different ways. What's going to stick? What are you actually going to do? And what is interesting is that in this one of the ways he had success actually was there, where he did have generally a Blake Snell blueprint of high four-seamers and low sliders and splitters. However, generally, because the pitch separation wasn't absolute or wasn't like close to it, where the middling ones, the ones that were thigh high, they were all hit by the Padres. Like, all of the hits were the ones that were YM lock, that is vertical middle. And that's it. That's really it. The fastball's at 98. The slider and the splitter are like not exceptional. They're not like the big whiff game from the slider. It's not the big splitter whiff game. It's not the extrovert on the four seamer. It's at 98. It's at 17 inches of vert, but not like 18 or 19. Look, it's one of those things where Sasaki can put it together on a given night. Like, these four in a row are bad. Those four before were good. In many ways, he deserved those good ones in this way. A little bit of bad luck, but still not super deserving. He gets Rocky Road next. And for a hipster like him, okay, fine. I'll go with that with Roky Sasaki. But otherwise, I really think that it's going to be a snip, snap all season long. And I don't really want to do that. That's a hipster heading inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. All right, that is it for me today. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Happy July 4th. Enjoy my roundups. I hope you enjoyed the late night roundup finally last night. I'm trying to do everything I can to make that work. I hopefully found a system. No promises. We'll see. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.